What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What it is, Tyrus here with another exciting adventure of the Wise Men with Staples, Kevin, Kylie, and my cousin from another mother, obviously, because we're cousins, Trevor Murdoch. And Trevor, who made a great statement, we have a new, Kate has been promoted, and we have a new kid on the block who's doing our, the technical stuff, if you will. And Trevor made a great point. Maybe you could reiterate that, why we're having technical difficulties, because he's working with a specific group, Trevor.
We are wrestlers. We yes. get kicked in the head for a living.
and we need
so
some.
You gotta give yeah. a little bit of window. That's
No, a glass door.
We get kicked in the head for the entertainment of the world. Damn it!
Yep, and maybe we are even proud a barn of it. Door, like a barn door, you know, that kind of slides open. Right. And you can drive a tractor in and out of.
Yeah.
So our special legend guest today is Dr. Tom Pritchard, who not only had an amazing wrestling career, was probably has trained everybody yeah. at one point or another, except for Trevor, because he went straight to TV. You know, he was yeah. the phenom.
I missed out.
First round draft pick, you know.
Some people just got it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he he's the Peyton Manning when you come of wrestling.
In, right, when you come in there throwing 101.
Yeah, you got to put the kid in the league.
You go to the show.
That was his curveball. That was his curveball. His off speed was a 78. He threw 101 curveball and 116 fastball with control. Yeah, you don't
if
mess
you've
around.
If you've seen a picture of me, you know there's nothing 101 about me.
Okay, well, first of all, yeah, the fact that you haven't aged at all. Your picture from 13 to now is the exact same hairdo, same spotty facial hair.
Some people,
this dude's ageless.
Have a gift to tell a story, Trevor. Yeah. And you know that's what they look for in WWE.
What is your secret? Is it just staying out of the sun? Like, what is your secret that the fact that you have no age wrinkles at all?
I think a part of it comes down to not giving a shit what other people think about.
Amen.
Like, listen to this guy.
That's right.
I'm not gonna lie, fellas. Like, I just, you know, you get to a point in life where you're like, you just don't care. It's all about me yeah. and focusing on my happiness. And
and you know what? And if you feel good, then you know what? That's great advice, because we have wrestlers are some of the most insecure people on the planet who were. As men wear the least amount of clothing wrestling around with other men, why people would cheer them on and boo them on, you would think that our feelings would be Teflon, you know, that we could do anything.
Yeah. you have to be an artist, you have to be kind of sensitive, though, right?
And a little bit crazy.
And a little
crazy. Just a scotch crazy.
Just a scotch. Just
you don't want too much.
Scotch, right?
You know, just you don't want berserker crazy, but yeah. you do want,
yeah.
you know.
We're up there telling a story with our emotions, and it comes
and we
with the
think
territory,
it's real.
Right? Yes,
that's
right,
the cold.
Right.
That's what makes you,
you
crazy.
You can't tell us that it's
do you know
not
what my
real.
Record is this
that's
month,
right.
man?
That's like, right.
That's yeah. like being a but bad guy in the movies complaining yeah, about right? dying at the end.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired of getting killed every week in these movies. Right. Bruh, you're the bad guy in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You're making millions of dollars.
It has to be real to us. And who's yeah. to tell us that yeah. it isn't?
No,
right?
certainly not
nobody.
Anybody or our other halves.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you, man, because you've been happily married for quite a while, right? You guys have
15 years.
15 years, okay? So she's basically made the run with you. Your yeah. wrestling career has been what?
22 years.
So she kept – so did you meet her before or after you just went straight to the big leagues?
I met her. She met me when I was 4.
You told the truth. I already like where this is going. She chose you. I'm already respecting this story. Yes.
Here's a little inside, like, Easter egg. When Harley first put his world heavyweight title on me against Ming in Eldon, the videotape, my wife's actually sitting front row watching the match. We didn't even know each other. We didn't even meet each other until, like, 3 years later. And you know, she loved me for who I was, man.
That's awesome. So yeah, that's really, yeah. Amen, man.
So, oh, by the way, one technical difficulty down. Robert Arillo, my old tag team partner, he's in the building. Real quick before we hear about Trevor's awesome relationship and his awesome wrestling career. I have gotten so many responses over your story of your career and how it went full circle. It was just amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk, was people are like, wow, man. And a lot of us, I didn't know that. And I really was like, wow, man, I am proud that I got to be your tag team partner, that you had that type of resilience, man. So you really should pat yourself on the back.
No, man. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me back again. People have hit me up as well over on Twitter and all that kind of stuff from the podcast. It's kind of it's good to hear that, like, my story helped others that are not wrestling kind of overcome, like, losing something and having a different way of thinking about it to overcome it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you literally did, and we got to get back to Trevor because we're not leaving his wife hanging. If it was just a story about Trevor and his success and how he went straight to the big leagues, we could just fade away from that.
Right.
But you basically got dumped by the love of your life, went to the gym, started tanning, met somebody better, and ran into her at a bar. And she was like, oh, my God, you look great. Yeah, yeah, I do. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, what is your name again? You know, and then literally she then called you and was like, hey, we need you back. Like, I made a mistake. Please come back. And he was cool. He was, you know what, maybe you should just take a bath and just come. Just a minute, teaching job. You really should just take care of yourself. And I wish you all the best. But our time is over. Just a minute, job. You take care of yourself. You take care of yourself. It's not you. It's me. Bye-bye now. And it's a bye-bye. The worst thing ever is when all of us have been there except for Trevor, because he met his first love, locked it in, got married, went to the big leagues.
Yep.
You know, the rest of us had to go through it the hard way. Yep. You know, a lot of us got some Dear Johns. You know, there's no such thing as a Dear Trevor.
Hey, boys, there was a lot of work. You guys know what it's like to be on the road and then to have a significant other at the house and what ideas and the internet puts out there. It was a struggle.
Yeah, because you were a sex symbol too, if memory serves correct. I mean,
that was my rib. That was my joke to my wife.
Yeah, you were, like, one of the original hot bodies.
You know, those divas. And I'm like,
you know what?
I'm in a locker room full of bodybuilders. You think they're staring at my big ass? Let's be realistic here. I got chew running down my
I showed up to Harley races right when Trevor left, and everyone was the way you guys are ribbing Trevor about this now. They were ribbing him back then in Eldon. They were like, oh yeah, Trevor just goes from Eldon to straight on TV. And then he, like, came back to the building with the tag titles, got in the ring, beat everyone up, left with the tag titles, took some photos. He just never left town. We were like, holy John Cone lived in a trailer. John Cone lived in a trailer in McDonough, Georgia. Trevor just never left home.
I got blessed, boys. I'm not joking.
John Cone and I tried to be a manager wrestler together.
Well, yeah, John Cone was a wrestler and then ref?
He was a ref. I forget who it was, but he whooped somebody's ass in the ring.
Oh, damn. Okay.
In Deep South. I can't remember. Yeah. He took them to school. I think it was Heath Slater. It was Heath Slater.
Of course.
He's not here this week. Oh, we're going to put a thumbnail on this one. And come back to it. So he took him to school. But and then I got in the ring with him, and he put me in a figure four leg lock in like 3 seconds. But we came together, and I was like, you should be my manager. And he was going to be John Maganelli. Everyone gets a slice. So he was going to be. He was going to have a piece of pizza in his hand for every promo.
That's not bad.
No,
that's,
and then he takes a bite out of the pizza afterwards. I thought this was gold. They did not. It did not make. Apparently, they thought he was better served as a referee. And turns out, you know,
it worked out for him. It worked out great for him.
But I could still be right now, that's raining, why defending WWE World Champion with my manager, John Maganelli.
And that's why
pizza endorsement.
Oh, no. I love sports entertainment, professional wrestling for John Maganelli.
Yeah.
You know, all those characters that were created that either, you know, whatever happened to them, but God, there's some real creativity, you know. John Maganelli.
I remember he blew Heath up. Like, he blew Heath up. And Heath is here to defend himself. But I'm talking about his face matched his hair. Oh. And Heath is the most reddest redhead that you've ever met. And his face was the same color as hair. He looked at me, and I made the mistake of getting in there. He single-legged me, figure four leg locked me, and I just rolled out and said, everyone needs to leave
and
that
man alone.
He was
handing
alone.
Out pizza or something, right?
Yeah, that's John that, Maganelli. You know, everyone gets a slice.
Everyone gets a slice.
And he had a laugh like, ha ha, everyone gets a slice.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
you
it.
Know, but well,
another
you know,
one that just life, didn't make it, right?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. It's never too late.
In real life, he was the real donut king. Did you guys?
Yes, he was. And I went to his shop. Life. To Vita and I, Camacho and I, we were on the road together and we made a trip to his donut shop. And I just want to say it was phenomenal. And
he killed it, man. Like, he had a ton
of just texted me like 3 weeks ago. We need to get John on the thing just so he can tell the story of how he manhandled Heath Slater.
I want to hear how he came up with John Maganelli.
I
really do.
It might have been my idea, but I don't know. I don't remember.
Right.
But he loved it.
I only know him as a ref, so I would like to know the other side.
He was one of my favorite people.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I used to put my head against the wall before I go out in the green room. I'd get in a corner and try to get as small as I possibly could the gorilla before going out. And I remember one time he was standing next to me, and they just cut my match or whatever, or they changed it or whatever, and he just looked at me and he says, hey, Brodus Clay's a star, man.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right on.
You know,
right
and that
on.
John Cohn is one of my favorites. I still talk to him.
Yeah.
We both had a love for He-Man. We always collected taking pictures and stuff, and I actually thought of him. You know, and I forgot to send him the picture, but I found a trap jaw in Target, grown ass man, like, oh, John Cohn's going to love this. Yeah. But that's the beautiful thing about sports entertainment when you make real friends and real connections, you know? And I think that's
I was there. So Harley's wife, BJ, got Cohn and myself and a few others extra work for the very first time at SmackDown. And I was there for John Cohn's ref tryout. And this is before I knew the power of Harley's wife, VJ. So we're all in the bowl by the ring, and they give John a SmackDown shirt. And so he's wearing it. He's really proud. And BJ's like, hey, Cohn, stand on the corner here so I can take a picture of you next to the SmackDown fist. And this was at a time where being on your cell phone in backstage was like a giant no-no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get yelled
right.
at.
Right.
And it was super
strict.
You got to protect kayfabe.
Not like it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being an extra, that I left my in the car because you just didn't
want the kiss of death.
Didn't want that heat.
Yeah,
I know. So here's John Cohn. Everyone knows that he's here as a tryout, not knowing, I don't think many knew he was a Harley race guy, and standing on the stage taking a photo by this lady, and someone came up to her and started kind of like berating her. You don't take photos, blah 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 blah. And she goes, do you know who I am? And the guy is like, no, who are you? She goes, I'm Harley Race's wife, BJ. And that man's face turned white. Oh, you could do whatever you want. I'm so sorry.
Man.
I didn't know anything, didn't know any better. And I was like, wow. Like she has just as much power as Harley here. And it blew my mind. And I remember Cohn was nervous to take that photo as well.
But he was a chicken in the headlights.
Like,
yeah.
All the photos you want.
You know, and
it was crazy.
Because if it would have got worse, she also would have dropped. And I also trained Trevor Murdoch. So, you know.
Yeah, I got heat for that. I remember when I first had my tryout in Richmond, I remember I was, but I was, you know, obviously going in there as a fan.
You were like, you were transitioning. Here's there was a lot of, I'm a football player.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of football players that go into wrestling.
Yeah.
Ones that have been humbled by not making it as far as they wanted to go in football.
Right.
and a general enjoy wrestling, and it was something they thought about doing.
Yeah.
Then there's the group that thinks wrestling owes them something. Like, I'm going to come in and wrestle until I get a call from the Giants. Like, I can do this stuff. And those guys fail miserably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if I knew at that point
football was over. I knew.
But at least some guys don't. I know a guy 40 years old right now who still thinks he can work out for the Bills. And I'm like, you haven't played ball in 20. You know what? It's your journey, Briz.
Right, it's your journey.
Yeah. But,
some battles you can win.
I'm not
some
a dream
can't.
Stomper. That's not what I do. But I mean, it's whatever. But I saw guys who came into practice with their jerseys on. You know, everyone knew they were in the Giants camp. Yeah. And I was like, I actually got in trouble for that. I think Rob was there for that.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I played football too. And you guys are here because you sucked.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wear your jerseys.
Yeah. I think I was wearing either a Dave Bautista t-shirt Randy Orton or somebody else.
Guys didn't like Kylie because he was excited to be there. And he wanted to learn, and he was a fan.
And I would say they would hold that against him. I was a mark, whatever the word, a mark.
I'm with Steven Regal with this one.
Yeah,
it's an ugly word.
It's an ugly word for
someone who's. That's like someone coming into work at Fox and going, oh, I hate the news, and I'm, you know, everyone be like, but oh my God, I'm so excited. Is that Brett Baer? Oh my God.
Right, sir.
Like, why would you want to extinguish that guy's joy?
I agree
with
you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so, but there was two kinds of ball players, and the ones who did it because they just need the crowd to cheer, they didn't last long because football's tough as hell. Wrestling's just as tough in a different way.
Yeah.
It's like football, you run forward 100 miles an hour. Wrestling, you have to run backwards 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So making the adjustment, and a lot of times guys can't make that transition.
Yeah.
So
well, you got to be wholehearted, man. And this
you can't half-ass wrestling.
Yeah.
You just can't.
And you got to be about as mentally strong as a piece of iron in professional wrestling. With the travel, it is because football to wrestling, it is not even the same thing. When you get done with the travel of a full road schedule, it is. I mean, I've never been in the military, but I can imagine it's like that. You know what I mean?
With
you got to be
of, like,
mentally tough,
and, like,
right?
Yeah, shit like that. Yeah, but yeah, it's that regiment.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And it all comes down to. Go ahead, Rob. What were you going to say?
Yeah, you said something pretty crazy, and I want to touch on it because I don't think many people not in the professional wrestling industry or sport understand this. You said when those people came in, those football players or athletes outside of wrestling as their first love came in, a lot of people talk shit about them or kind of shun them away, as you say, because they're marks or whatever like this. A lot of us that were in developmental that were the wrestlers, you know what I mean, that started from day one on the independents, found a dirt garage to get trained into. A lot of people looked at, I know myself and a few others kind of talked about this privately back then in developmental, was like, we sacrificed everything to get the chance to be in developmental. And we looked at a lot of the guys from outside of sports, football players that were coming at the time. You didn't sacrifice anything.
Yeah.
You got to, even though you sacrificed things for your sport of football, wrestling was never your number one. This is your backup plan. So a lot of people kind of took that a wrong way. And right off the bat, you could have been the nicest guy in the world, but because you weren't at heart a professional wrestler, a lot of people were standoffish to that. Just like Tyra said, if you came into the news and you're like, well, I'm just going to be a news anchor, but I don't really like the news. It's just something I'm going to fall into that I think I'm going to be good at.
Right.
All the people that are diehards are going to put you off in a second category.
Yeah.
And nowadays that's kind of changed a little bit. Cause I'm one of three trainers at a school out here in Chicago, and WWE is now recruiting college athletes. And we had one of them from Northwestern that came to us. He's like, hey, I have a tryout in 3 months. I'm here to kind of get ready for that. You know what I mean? And we're more open arms to it now. But back then, the early 2000s, if you didn't know who the powers of pain were, we didn't respect you at all.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And if that was knew, and that went a long way with me because
saw on TV Monday. Yeah.
Because I knew my wrestling history, and I also never talked about anything I did other than trying to be the best. Like, when I go into something, I'm focused on that.
Right.
So if someone goes, hey, did you play ball? What does that matter? I'm trying to learn how to wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, so, and when you humble yourself and you don't
absolutely
roll out on drills and you jump in there And when you do wrong, you know what I'm saying, and you learn, but you have to humble yourself. And a lot of times these athletes, especially ones that are trying to make up for not their their dream is over, they make their ego bigger than life when they show up in wrestling because they're like, oh, I'm going to pretend to be wrestler. You have to earn the right to pretend to be wrestler. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And when you don't earn it, that's where the disconnect is. And that, but that goes back to you got to have a great trainer. Now, and when you have a great trainer, your whole philosophy changes because they bring things out of you that you didn't know you had in you. We'll be back with much more after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I can honestly say I get so much credit for being a great talker, but I don't think I would have been as good a talker as I am now had I not had Dr. Tom, who was able to get me to relax and stop trying to say, like, I wanted to just, everyone I wanted to be a home run.
Right.
Everyone you wanted, like, oh, you're going to say it, and Vince McMahon's going to be sitting in his chair going, who is that guy?
Yeah, like, everything's got to
change my world.
That's what I felt. Everything's got to be a catchphrase. I fell into that psychology, and it didn't help. You know what I mean? I had
that
to have
environment breeded that, too, though, fellas. Like, that, you guys just didn't use it on your own. That environment breeded that. If you didn't knock it out of the park the first time, they reminded you quickly that there was somebody right behind you that will take your spot. And that weighs a lot on people's psyche when they're going up there trying to perform.
Now
I'm going to put Dr. Tom over here for a second, because you guys talking about him on the mic, he made me realize something in the ring, and it's something I tell a lot of young kids today. Before I got to the developmental, it was all about do all your things that night.
Psychology, and Dr. Tom. Watching. Yeah, you can't have psychology without Dr.
And,
Tom.
And the one thing, and Tyrus knows the story, and I love telling the story. I remember Tom told me to go out there and show him everything I got, and I did too much. And he gave me this analogy that I tell everyone I love. He goes, all right, tell me what you would do if you walked outside your house and you saw two elephants in your front yard. And I was like, wait, what? He's like, you would go crazy. You're like, oh my God, look at this. There's two elephants outside my house. Like, do you see? Does anyone see this right now? There's these two elephants having sex.
I said that live on the gut show.
Yes.
And I used it.
And you would lose your mind. Yeah, the next day, you would go outside, and those two elephants still having sex out in front of your house. You would lose your mind again. You would take pictures of it. You would tell everyone you know. By the 10th day, you'd be like, oh, there's those two elephants.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's what professional wrestling. Like, excuse me. Yeah. I need to get my newspaper. You know, and I literally, that saying has carried with me forever. Same. And I literally dropped it on Gutfeld as my, how do I explain political thing? And I said, well, it just comes down to this, fellas. Just imagine two elephants, you know, and I've added my own spin to it, but that's Dr. Tom in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And is Doc with us?
I'm with you guys, if you can hear me.
Oh yeah. Hey, Doc.
We're
putting you over.
Yeah,
very cool, man. No, thank you, guys. That's all cool and it's all true, but I don't know how over or how much it helped you, but obviously you guys took the stuff away from it, because half the time I don't remember what I said or how I said it.
No, and you would do that. You know what, though? But that's what Dr. Tom would come out one day, and I remember he made Natty Neidhart cry. He came out and he told the story. I think it was about a tree he planted when he was a child. And then one day somebody chopped the tree down. It was a special tree. He called it a fertilance or something, which is actually a snake. But he told this story, and Natty was like, oh, my God, this is so sad. And he's like, I just made it up. It's all about the promo. And we just died laughing. But, like, Natty was like, she was shook. She was absolutely shook, because it's about – he's like, your delivery. I think one of the things about Dr. Tom was not just because he's a trainer, because he wasn't just a worker. He went through all the bullshit at a high level. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had the ups, the downs. He went through the ins and outs. He had high moments. He had moments like Doc, one of the best stories you told me was about how Dusty, you drove all the way to be the new member of Midnight Express, and no one bothered to tell you that they made it Stan Lane. You know, and that is one of my favorite Dr. Tom stories, because one of the things about your stories is there's always a lesson in it. And I was like, and you don't get Dr. Tom's lessons until after you're away from him. I think that's probably the biggest thing, and probably a lot of times why you say, well, I don't know. That elephant story literally has saved me, and I can't imagine how many debates I've had on Fox News. I just pull the elephants out.
Yeah.
You know, and they get...
Yeah. Well, I think it gets everybody's attention, but one thing I think, and Robert hit on it too, when you start training somebody, or even when you start training everybody in the process, number one, you need to have fun. You need to enjoy this. You need to love this. You need to have passion for it. Otherwise, it's going to suck. And I was listening to you guys talk about the football players who came in, and some of them, it wasn't their first love. It wasn't their fault, but they thought this would just be a walk in the park and there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
So if they would just relax, or if everybody would just relax and listen, and that's the hardest part, because everybody's nervous. They're not sure what they got themselves into. And then all of a sudden it comes down to, you've actually got to know how to lock up. You've actually got to know how to work and walk around in the ring. But I think it's how you teach that lesson, because, man, I got to tell you this, and I don't mean to go off on a side street, but I do. Just walking in that NWA locker room in Knoxville brought me back to how cool this really can be.
Yes, and, sir.
And business at the same time. You guys actually are taking care of business in the way the old school guys used to take care of business. Where you walk in, I saw Idol for the first time in 30 years, and he started right away like we never left off. And that's when I walked in there. That's an environment you want to help the young guys in, and that's the environment you want to learn in. If you're smart enough to understand, you know, we were sitting back there, you and me, Ty was talking about when we saw Silas Mason go out, and he said, why are they doing that? And,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Took an interest. You know what I mean? And that's the old school way of teaching. And that's, everybody's a coach. You just don't know it yet. Like I could see you teaching, Robert. I really can. I could see your way of thinking coming out. And I think the attribute you want to find is a way to connect. No matter what you do or how you do it, if you don't connect, it doesn't matter. It's not going to get through. So,
yeah, you're thinking about when I saw Dr. Tom, I know I was, my face lit up. You know, I was like, and everyone became like, you had to, dad was there and you had to impress.
It was like Christmas.
Everybody had to show off. And even someone like Trevor, who never was trained by anybody but Harley Race and went straight to TV, he didn't have time for that double A ball stuff. Even Trevor wanted to step it up. But, and I would watch guys go sit under the learning tree. And I don't think, I think Billy had more guys come up. And this is the cool part about wrestling, because everything's so, at least at NWA, everyone tries to be kayfabe. It's like, hey, Billy, you got a minute? Psst. Dr. Tom needs to be here more. Like, hey, Billy, you got a minute? And everyone was like, and by the time it got to me, when I was like, hey, Billy, he's like, if you're telling me about Dr. Tom, I love him too, Tyrus. We'll figure something
he's
out.
Coming.
He's coming. All right. So, but it was like, everybody had to be the guy, like, you got a second? And that was really cool. And you could see guys going out in their matches, because we knew we had the wizard watching, you know, and you don't realize. Like I was lucky. Dr. Tom came around just around the perfect time with me. Like, Bill taught me how to be rough, aggressive, do drills, figure out a way to control it, etc. But psychology wise, Bill has his one way. Bill was an aggressive Japanese style guy, and that's what he knew, and that's what he was good at, and that's what he taught. And anybody that was different from that would struggle under him. Where Dr. Tom kind of came in like a mechanic, and each car needed a different tune-up. Each wrestler, this is your lane. This is this guy's lane. But you got to figure your lane out, and I'm just going to – and that's what I liked about Dr. Tom. He didn't have a cookie cutter, and that's no disrespect at all to Coach Bill. But there's just different levels of this game.
Yeah.
And you look at guys that Dr. Tom has worked with, and I'm trying to think, who haven't you worked with, the exception, of course, of Trevor Murdoch?
But, Doc,
hey, listen, I feel like a lesser man.
No, you're the man. You were hired and fired by John Laurinaitis. Like, you are the man.
Right.
I got fired by Ty Bailey,
the best.
Ty Bailey. Ty Bailey fired me after practice. He didn't even give me the decency I had to do kickout drills for 2 minutes.
There's some truth in that, though, right?
I didn't even go to Moe's to get my meal of food and literally ruined my lunch. Right. And all I can remember saying was, you couldn't have done this shit at 8:30 in the morning? Yeah. Like, I had to go to 4 hours of practice for this? Yeah. So
look, let me just trump that. I got fired by Canyon Seaman.
Yeah. So
You know what?
Yeah.
You win.
Here's the thing, though. If I can kind of wrap even this part up, the Harley race is who I grew up on, with the funks and that style and that attitude and that approach. So, and seeing him in his school, knowing how Harley was, you have to have patience and you have to know how to, again, connect. He knew he was Harley Race. He knew exactly who he was. And he made sure he won the title 8 times instead of Thez, who only won it 6. He told me that one time, and I thought, that's old school thinking right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Trevor's working on being 19-time NWA world champion.
Yeah. But I mean, that all in the end, and as you go through it, and I'm still on the journey myself, and as you get older, you learn different things and you make mistakes and you try to adapt. And it's like, try to be the person that those people never had in their life and try and make it better instead of me being an ass sometimes and trying to make people feel bad, not intentionally, but just by the approach. Yeah. So I think that's a whole way of looking at the coaching deal in wrestling, too. There is no cookie cutter. There shouldn't be any cookie cutter. But for some reason, and I know the reason, but it doesn't, in my opinion, I think it's best learning it in the ring at the pace you need to learn it at. And a good coach would decide when to bring you along. Because some days, if you're doing a drill and nobody's feeling it, you're going to. Why not just change the drill, change the approach, do something else, get rid of that day. The next day will come back when you're thinking about that drill or thinking about doing it that way. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a 1-year curriculum where you go A, B, C, D, E every single day. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in that. I mean, some people do, but I don't believe in that. And if you don't want to come to class, and if you don't like the environment you're in, I think that weighs on your head too. So I really do. I've always thought it's the coach, the guy who's in control of the practices to set the tone. Because if the coach isn't having fun, or if the coach is in a bad mood, everybody else is going to pay for it.
Yep.
And I really truly believe it's how everybody, from the people training to the people teaching, how you approach it.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit. We used to have one of the things that when Dr. Tom was there, we used to have a lot of special guest trainers coming in.
Right.
And I remember, like, I think my favorite was Animal, because he just wanted to kill everybody. But rest his soul. But in learning how to, like, figure out and work the ring and stuff, my favorite trainer to be tired around was Ricky Steamboat, because all you had to do was ask him a question.
Right, and I remember that.
And I used to. We were blown up and we're tired. Yeah. Kevin looked at me and said, "I got you."
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Steamboat, I was wondering about a good gear change in the corner.
Right.
Here comes the spit cup. 45 minutes later.
Yes.
Well, we're out of time. Yeah. And I was like, "You're welcome, fellas. You're welcome." But his stuff. I mean, his gear change stuff was always 1,000% correct. We knew that. And I love Mr. Steamboat.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we knew he was just a scotch long-winded. Yeah. Just a scotch.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Just a scotch. Yeah, but
so
just a scotch.
Yeah.
So I got a question, Tom, because I feel a lot of people listening to this kind of enjoy that, the talk of being a coach in professional wrestling, right? So for me, as training kids out here in Chicago, I want to ask you this. Where did you, to be a good coach, you need to know how to speak to the person you're coaching. And I feel you have that. Like, I remember when I was there, you probably don't remember this, but I was having a rough time reacting in the moment. And I remember there are two incidents. You came up to me, you gave me a legit back rake on my bare back, and you started pulling the shit out of my ear. And you're like, how are you going to react to this right now? And you gave me that way of mentality of thinking. Now, like, where did that, like, a lot of great wrestlers sometimes are not the best professional wrestling trainers. Where do you think you found that niche to be the one that, because you pretty much trained everyone You know, you trained the McMahons, The Rock. Everyone came through Dr. Tom because you have this ability. Where do you think you found that ability, that way to like transition that and be able to get people to think about that kind of stuff? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. But I trained with a guy in Texas by the name of Joe Mercer, and him and another wrestler, Nick Kozak, owned a record service. They had a ring in their record service. And after I trained a little bit with the Iron Sheik, and then I trained with these guys after Sheiky Baby left the territory. And Joe grabbed my finger one time because when he would say sell, I didn't understand. Even though I'd watched it my whole life, I'm 16 years old. He grabbed my finger and bit down on it. And I went, ow! He goes, yeah, that's how you sell. That's why I grabbed your ear. That's why I would do the back rake, because people would do a back rake, and if there were no marks on the back, it looked phony as hell.
And Dr. Tom hated that. That was his one bugaboo, because it was a battle royal. He would say, no bumps, and I better not see a back rake unless somebody's bleeding.
Yeah. Like,
literally,
it's just smart. That's smart thinking. Realistic pro wrestling. Yeah. Holy shit. What an idea.
And I'll tell you, somebody who did it really good, and I saw it in Largo, was Dean Ambrose. And he did a really great back rake. And when he came back, I said, hell of a job with the back rake. But the other stuff, I truly believe, Robert, is the journey. From starting until now, I'm still on the journey. I'm still learning. It was the opportunities that came my way. If I wasn't in Stanford or if I wasn't – one time I was in Houston. And Bruce was there. And we went to a place Tug Taylor used to have with a ring set up. And Tiger Conway called me and says, hey, you want to come down and work out with some of these guys? Okay, so I went down. And there was about five guys there. And they were doing a headlock takeover their way, where you got the legs out straight and everything. And I said, try it this way, because that's the way I was taught, where you put the hip into it and you go down and you put your arms behind the waist and take a bump. So I was – pretty soon we had a good deal going on, and everybody was – working and trying different stuff. So Bruce had mentioned that to Vince when they wanted to start the developmental system at Stanford. So Vince called me in. We were done. We were finished with the Body Donalds, thank God. And
love that.
What was there to do? And this was a new thing starting. So I got the opportunity, and it was Rock and Mark Henry and Occam Albrecht. And it was just three of us, well, actually four of us over in the studio. I didn't know how to coach. I mean, I was given the opportunity. I'd coached and helped guys earlier, like Brian Christopher in Memphis. Nobody liked to work with Brian. He was Jerry Lawler's son. He had an attitude. He was cocky, and he wouldn't listen. So I worked with him like a spot show, then Nashville, and we came around to Memphis. And then the next night was Louisville, and all the matches were kind of sucking. He didn't trust me, and he wasn't sure that I was not going to eat him up. So in Louisville, I came to him, took him by himself, and said, hey, nobody likes you, man. Let's show you can work. I did.
That's great.
He looked at me with those eyes like, what do you mean? I said, nobody likes you. Nobody wants to work with you. Let's show them you can work. Just trust me tonight. Please. I'm not going to eat you up. I'm going to put you in places you want to be, but I need to do my stuff first. So don't rush. Just listen to me. I promise. We went out and had a really good match and came back. And from then on, we worked. And Brian had told me about this. He said, I'll never forget when you told me that. So that's that journey. And I didn't think anything about it then. I really wasn't coaching then, but I was.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. In the NWA locker room, you have guys like that who will discreetly pull somebody aside. And as a coach, too, Robert, you got to pull somebody aside discreetly if need be.
See, that's where I miss the lesson, because right now I just walk up to guys and pull them aside and go, hey, nobody likes you.
Right.
Change it. Right. No, I gotta finish my journey. I gotta go a little further. Yeah. Lose 50 pounds immediately. But you know what?
To do that.
Yes, yes. You know, but hey, let me tell you something. Speaking of gravitas, let me tell you, and Kevin and Rilla, you guys, Trevor, I know you were the tag champ and you were on Raw and SmackDown and Velocity and everything. But at that time, Dr. Tom decided that we were all going to have our Broadway matches.
And I remember
everybody
this.
Was terrified.
Horrified.
Horrified.
You made me do it with... Tom, you made me do an hour with Keith Walker, goddamn.
Hey, I did mine with Ricklon.
So, you talk about the cardio at an hour Broadway.
So what does Dr. Tom do? Yeah. He says, I'll do it myself.
Right. I remember
this. He had the burgundy long tights. Yeah. He dressed up full regalia, sprains his ankle against his
He broke it.
Yeah. Put it back together while he was selling and carried Heath Slater, who was blown up again. Yeah. We got to get Heath back on so he can defend himself. Yeah. And went an hour with Heath. And I think every one of us at that point, the line was long to do their hour match, because he's like, I did it on one leg, and he went, and it wasn't like he laid there in a headlock for 45 minutes. It wasn't an assassin's match.
The truth is, I was hired like either the week this happened or a couple days after that, because I don't know if you first remember or remember seeing me, but I will never forget, Doc, the first time I saw you when I was hired and I walked in and you guys had just transferred to FCW. Like even Robert said, it kind of looked like the back of a grocery store.
It looked like we were hiding stolen cars.
That's right. Yeah. And I turned the corner with a gallon of water, and you said, "Hi, I'm Dr. Tom." I said, "I'm Kevin." And man, you changed my life in a lot of positive ways, man. And I am really grateful, you know. And there's some things that you taught me and said to me, you know, about, because I came in as a football player, right, thinking that it was close to the same, but the truth is, it's not. You know, and I'm, you always kind of had a way of talking to me and coaching me and telling me some things, you know, about, you know, this has to be real to you. You know, you have to think of it that way, and you have to believe in what you're doing. And I still carry those things with me today. So I'm really appreciative of it, Doc. I'll never forget it. I turned a corner, you were sitting there, you had the cast on, and you said, "Hi, I'm Dr. Tom." And I was off to the races, so it was great. Yeah.
Well, it's awesome to hear stuff like that.
Man. Yeah, man.
A lot of time.
Hey, Trevor, this is the time where you tell Dr. Tom how he changed your life.
I do have a little Dr. Tom story.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Besides getting Nobel
Peace, you give him an autograph? you gave him an autograph after one of the shows?
No, I remember. It's nice to hear all that stuff. It really is. It's better than the other way it could go. Yeah. But contrary to popular belief, I'm not everybody's favorite. So that's why when I hear it, I just don't.
I can think of a couple guys offhand that weren't real thrilled. But they're outnumbered, and this show we have no shovels because we don't bury anybody unless it's Heath or Trevor.
Yeah, of course. My little story with Dr. Tom is they had brought Dr. Tom up as a producer, as an agent. And I remember, I forgot who I was working, but they wanted me to do some really stupid shit. And I went to Dr. Tom going, "Doc, you know, this is what they're asking me to do."
So you put him in the line of fire his first day on the job. Thanks, Trevor.
I did. Yeah. And he goes, "Well, Trevor, that sounds stupid. Why are you doing that?"
Any chance your agent was Michael Hayes by or somebody?
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
I thought you were burying people.
No, I'm saying is I'm burying Trevor. So Michael Hayes told you to do something, and you went after the on his first day on the job.
Yeah, I went to the smartest guy in the room other than Arm. Like, that's what I did. I went to the smartest guy in the room and said, "Well, how do I make this better?" And you looked at me and you said, "Ah, Trevor, I think you're on your own with this one, buddy."
No one likes you, Trevor. What are you going to do?
No one likes you.
No, it was honesty.
No, yeah.
I knew if Dr. Tom was said it was the shit, then it's going to be the shit, whatever I can do with. You know what I mean? It wasn't just me.
I think it's hard, Doc, to explain to a football player that had no experience, right? What sports entertainment is, right? You know, and I'm just saying, you know, truth be told, I was one of those guys. You know, I was.
But you were different because you were so damn nice,
and
excited, and you wouldn't let. Here's the thing: like Alpha Junior did something pretty. He put you in a sleeper hold behind you.
I remember.
And you ended up passing out.
Scared me.
You literally said, "Hey, thanks. I'm learning." Like nobody.
I do remember that.
Yeah,
bro.
Nobody.
That was scary.
Nobody could really flushed you on the outside. Maybe on the inside, you were at home beating yourself in the wall, like, what have I gotten myself into? But the smile never left.
Yeah.
I mean, at even times, maybe, not to bring up the past, but remember when FCW, you got the DUI and you had to do the speech, right?
Yeah.
You had to do the speech in front of, and you apologized to everyone.
Right.
And I remember somebody jumped in and tried to make it sound like the police were corrupt.
Yep.
And A-Rod just without breaking sweat, I'm not really here about that. I'm trying to take responsibility.
Right.
Thank you so much for your support. But no, guys, it's my fault.
I just remember going,
this guy, you give him an out, he won't take it. He's all right with me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, but you know what, Doc? I think you have to. One of the things that I don't like about Dr. Tom is that he cannot take a compliment. Yeah. You cannot get any compliment you give Dr. Tom, he'll turn around on you in a second. Like, he just sometimes you have to embrace the fact that there is an entire generation of wrestling that when they think of Dr. Tom, they have a warm spot in their heart and they think, wow, I'm where I'm at today because I was got a chance to be under that learning tree. Yeah. And I had a very close personal relationship with Dusty, but Dusty taught me things about life and like how to get through my day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, once he said you do a good elbow drop, that's it for wrestling. The rest you got to figure out on your own. But you touched a lot of our lives, and I think you have to embrace that sometimes, you know, and like you got to let us celebrate you a little bit because you're not going to be a dick about it. You're not going to walk around, you know, but that's not who you are. But I think sometimes you got to say, you know what, fellas, you guys didn't do too bad. And that's a tribute to yourself.
You know, I agree with everything you're saying. And that's why when I went to the NWA in Knoxville here, you know, I know. Because Aaron's told me the same thing. You've told me the same thing. Yours and people have told me the same thing. But what do you say to that? You go, oh, gosh, geez.
Right. Gee, thanks. You're right. And by the way, Aaron, nobody likes you. Do something about it.
Right. But people need to know if somebody likes you or they don't in this business. Because otherwise you keep walking around. Yeah. Otherwise you keep walking around thinking everything's okay.
And you always seem to find the guy you don't like to get advice from. That's the guy you sit like, hey, excuse me, Mr. Dunn, what did you think of my match?
Yeah.
You wrestled tonight?
Right. I'm finding in wrestling there are those sections of guys who stay in contact with each other, you know, from Chris Masters to Aaron. You guys all have seemed to been in that same group, and you're right. You guys have done pretty damn good for yourself on Fox News with Gutfield. I'm saying, how in the living hell does this happen?
You know, well, and I like to think talent and charisma, but that's fine, Doc.
No, listen. when you tell me the story of you wooed him on Twitter, you know what I mean.
He wooed me, but yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Either way, I cut a promo on Twitter.
Both of you guys were wooed. And you wind up on Fox News. You follow it. It didn't fit the G-Rilla mix.
No.
But no, it didn't. Not G-Rilla.
No.
But and not even Brodus Clay. It was you wound up there and all of a sudden here's a new career. How'd that happen? Well, it happened. So Aaron Stevens is doing heels in Atlanta. And all these other guys are finding ways out. So, dude, what do you say? You say, hell yeah, you guys did great. You guys are doing great.
Yeah, so, but I think you need to understand, Doc, that a lot of that might not have happened without you there. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just the truth of it. Like,
I'll tell you right now, and we're running out of time, but my second time back, I had been touring for Snoop for a year and a half.
Yeah.
When I came back in and I weighed in and Doc was there, I stepped on the scale. I was 492 pounds.
Yeah.
I left the WWE at 335 pounds. And I remember all I could say was, oh, shit. Right. And I'm like, they're going to fire me. Like, they were bitching at me at 335.
Yeah.
So, and Doc looked at me and said, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to lose weight. He said, okay. Let's get started.
Yeah.
We're going to weigh in you and me every month. Here's the thing. If he would have reported that day that I was 492 pounds, I'd have been gone.
Right. And if him and Dusty didn't come together and say, well, he's horrible in the ring, but he can speak his ass off, you know, I'd be.
But he was already on TV. You can't talk about Trevor like that. He was already on TV.
Sorry, boys.
All right. For more podcasts just like this.
One, One quick thing, real quick, before I go. I don't ever remember anybody leaving the arena saying, boy, what a headlock John Cena put on tonight. It's not always about the wrestling.
No, just the guy who got it.
It's about going out there being that persona and that character and having that foundation to do it. But the real deal is getting over being who you are authentically. So,
Yeah. And you are 1,000% that, man. Thank you so much, Dr. Tom. I hope we can get you to come back sometime.
Thank you.
And hopefully Trevor won't have a story about himself involving you. For more podcasts like just like this, Trevor, you know I love you. Check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Rob, Dr. Tom, Kevin, Cousin Trevor, thank y'all very much. Enough said.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.